Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 7:22. I'm Howard Feldman. Dr. Carl is our Australian science communicator. Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And a fine Australian accent you have there, Dr. Howard.
I can't help myself. You know, and the minute I know I'm speaking to someone in Australia, I almost subconsciously switch as though you won't understand me if I speak in a South African accent. It's not meant as an insult, by the way. It's just how my brain works.
It's perfect. It's called mirroring. And it turns out that there are parts of the human brain that are dedicated to the concept of mirroring, so that if we're together and having a coffee together, and then I lean forward, then without you really realizing it, you lean forward. And if I stretch, you stretch. And it's part of bringing us all together, because we are weak individually, but we are strong together.
That is so interesting. Is that why we yawn if somebody else yawns, or is that something completely different?
That's not fully understood, but it is the current theory. Because in science, word theory means a full and complete explanation, and we don't have one of those. But the current conjecture or hypothesis is that yawning is a way to build up a bond between you and me. We don't yawn just because we're tired, because you can have people who are really awake, like athletes who have trained for years and now they're at the Olympic Games and they definitely have not had a late night last night when they went out partying, and they're fully trained and yet ready to run the 100 meter or 300 meters or whatever they're going to do. Suddenly they'll start yawning, and then other people around them will yawn. It's not due to low oxygen, because we've fed people 100% oxygen and they still yawn. If told something really boring, like submolecular calculus, yawning is poorly understood.
So fascinating. Talking about breathing, the importance of ventilation in our lives. So last night, South Africa removed, the president spoke, and they removed the need for outdoor masks. Thank goodness for that. We just need to wear masks now in indoor public places. But what have we learned about ventilation in our lives, especially over the last couple of years?
Well, on one hand, we can look at the brutal statistics. And in the year 2018, of the 45 million people who did die in that year, roughly one-fifth died from breathing polluted air, overwhelmingly caused by fossil fuels. And as a follow-up from that, when I was a junior doctor working in the emergency department at the kids' hospital in Sydney, if I went out at night and I could smell wood smoke in the air, I knew that it would be wall-to-wall with children with asthma and various other respiratory complaints, each of them costing a few thousand dollars to admit for the night, then send it back home in the morning when they were okay again after we looked after them. And none of the cost of their care was paid for by the people who were burning the wood. So we have a strange situation where air is treated differently from water. Back in the 1800s, the wealthy countries realized that if water was contaminated with sewage, you get all sorts of diseases, typhoid and cholera. And so huge sums of money were spent on sewage and water treatment in the wealthy countries, and it paid back. It paid off really well. Looking at air, and looking at a 130-year window from 1870 to the year 2000. So looking at that window, 1870 to the year 2000, the world population went from 1.5 billion to 6 billion, going up by a factor of 4, but fossil fuel use went up by a factor of 80. And just polluting the air like crazy and killing one-fifth of everybody who dies today. And it mainly does it by polluting the air with either gases, oxides of nitrogen, or particulates. Howard, have you heard of things called PM2.5 or PM10?
No, not really.
PM stands for particulate matter, and these are particles that are too small to see with the human eye, and they come as a result of burning stuff. And PM2.5 means particles smaller than 2.5 microns. A micron? That's a millionth of a meter, and a hair shaft is about 70 microns in diameter. So the thing with these small particles, PM2.5 and smaller, is that they go deeply into your lungs. And so they also cause asthma and illnesses, including heart disease and cancer, two of the biggest causes of deaths in pregnant countries. In Australia, we had huge bushfires, thanks to global warming, where in the year 2019 and 2020, one-fifth of all the forests in Australia burnt. And it turns out that women who were pregnant during that time where the dirty air was around had significant health impacts. So the women were suffering more, pregnant women, from high blood pressure, from diabetes and low birth weight. And at this early stage, it's only a few years down, it seems like the children are suffering. So definitely, human health is improved by improving air quality. Now, I don't know what the situation is in Africa, but in Africa is like a million countries and huge. But in Australia, under the official regulations, buildings that have lots of people in them, like schools, nursing homes, pubs, clubs and shops, are allowed to be totally reliant on ventilation from windows. And providing it's not too hot or not too cold or not too smoky, that works fine. Once you shut the windows when it's hot or cold, suddenly you've got no good ventilation. And in Australia, in Victoria, in Melbourne, we had our second wave of COVID, and that happened in aged care homes that overwhelmingly relied on natural ventilation, and it was cold, so they shut the windows and everybody passed diseases to each other. And in Australia, out of a population of 25 million, we have 4 million school children, and they will be the future generation. They are. And they will be paying our superannuation. And yet we're not giving them the best possible education by giving them a learning environment where they get clean air.
It's so interesting because it really has changed. And a lot of the doctors that I've spoken to are saying this, that even though officially, for example, we have to wear masks indoors, they're creating a distinction. And it follows very much what you're saying. They're saying if there's great ventilation in the room, not air conditioning, not closed windows, but if you have normal ventilation with open windows and air, you actually are less likely to contract COVID. And in fact, don't need a mask as strictly as if you're in a closed room with air conditioning. So it feels as though you're much more comfortable with the perfect temperature, but actually it's far less healthy, and we're seeing that.
Well, we have a strange situation where the fossil fuel companies are allowed to dump their garbage for free. But if you had, for example, the Howard Feldman Wood Factory, and you were making paper or wooden products, you wouldn't be allowed to dump the offcuts of wood into the next door neighbor's place or the nearest river or on the street. You'd have to get rid of it properly and recycle it or do something. But the fossil fuel companies, because of the historical reasons or whatever, they're allowed to get away with it, and they are.
Absolutely. And Mark Luba saying the problem with all the wood burning that we've had a large reduction in forests and trees, which actually filter the air that we breathe. It is 7:30. Dr. Carl, thank you. As always, fascinating conversation and a very important one. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.